I would like to call to order the meeting of the River Grove Water District on March 25th. And let's show everyone is here except Commissioner Johnson, who has an excused absence. Does not appear we have any public, so no public comment. Approval and review, or review and approval of the board minutes from February 26th.
I move we approve the minutes as presented.
A second.
All those, any comments?
I'll abstain because I wasn't there.
Okay. Then it's unanimous, 3-1, and or 3-0. Right. And we have one excused absence and one abstention. General Manager.
All right, we'll kick it off with the Resilient Backbone Asbestos Cement Pipe Replacement
Program. I like
program.
That name. Did you come up with the word resilient there?
Yeah.
That's a real buzzy word these days in engineering.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. Kudos.
Thank you. So the application was submitted on the 14th of March. Project estimated cost at $2,775,822. The estimated completion date is 12/31/2025. I provided you the project details on the start and completion for the project. And again, these are just conceptual project details based on our submission to Business Oregon. If you look, there was an attachment with the estimated engineer's costs and where we came up with our funding total request. With that being said, remember now that at 2025, and the budget will have to be factored in now for payment plan back on this, and it's a 30-year loan, and I do not know yet the interest rate that we're going to get.
Janine, I have a question. Since it's a revolving loan fund, is any portion of it forgivable?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We qualify for
40%.
We qualify for like $200,000. Again, they have to review everything, and then but we do have a certain piece of it that is forgivable, and they'll do their part. The longest process of this for Business Oregon is getting this up to OHA and them doing their review on it. And their part piece of it is pretty simple. So hopefully we'll hear something back in June that everything's been approved, and then we'll get started on this.
I read something very recently that the EPA, US EPA, is basically going to war against asbestos cement.
Mm-hmm,
AC. Asbestos and asbestos cement,
mm-hmm.
and they want it out of any place they could have contact with human beings, like water systems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall there was a deadline, but it is a deadline out there. And of course, they're not paying for any of it.
No, of course not. And that brings up...
Easiest kind to pass.
Yeah, that brings up something I was going to talk about when I get to the financial part.
Oh, before we leave this subject, maybe this is a good time for me to... on my own initiative, I finally got around. I called Clackamas County just as a citizen, not as a, identify myself as a River Grove Water District board member, concerned about the improvement project at Stafford and Childs Road. And I got a hold, when I identified myself as an engineer, I got to talk to an engineer on the city side, on the county side. And we had a good discussion. Here is the project. I'll pass this around and you can see it. It's a big freaking project. It's probably the most expensive project on the CIP. $17 million is the current cost estimate. And you can see how long it is along Stafford Road. It doesn't go up our way more than a few hundred feet, which is good. But the schedule is similar to what we're talking about here. They're going to bid in October. And hope to go to start construction February of 25. But theirs is a 2-year duration project.
Mm.
And I did mention that I was aware that there's a water replacement project coming up, and The starting limit is down here by my street, River Run, and then it heads west. And he says, oh, that shouldn't be any problem. Other than the fact that you're going to get out of one zone of traffic control and get into another zone of traffic control.
No kidding. There should be an enormous amount of traffic through the neighborhood until people get used to the idea that they can't get onto Stafford.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to have to go back up by the high school to get onto Stafford Road.
Right.
So it is what it is. It certainly is an improvement that's needed.
Lovely, nice.
I've counted with my own eyeballs up to 78 cars queued up on Childs Road in the evening rush hour trying to turn because one or two of them wanted to make a left turn.
Yeah.
So just for your information.
Right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I did ask them to keep me in the area of what's going on. It's a courtesy, the city would.
Well, thank you for doing that.
I knew it was coming, I just didn't know when.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they originally were planning to start it this summer.
And he mentioned that they had to put it back in.
Yeah.
That's par for the course or a county project. But the interesting thing, there will be a pretty sizable mechanically stabilized earth wall on the low side, on the west side. But most of it, they're going east. They're going to be cutting into the hillside.
Yeah.
A lot of it, so you're going to be able to balance your cuts and fills. And he laughs, says, no, we'll be hauling off a lot of stuff. And I guess there's probably some utility relocations, too.
Yes. Yeah, there's a couple things going on there, depending on how Clackamas, other things in Clackamas County go. So.
Oh, yeah.
The Tonquin.
Stafford.
Yeah, the Tonquin project.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's been a hot topic.
Yeah. Happy I was not invited to the county commissioner's meeting to speak on
what
it, but
is,
it's not my project.
What is Tonquin? I'm not familiar with that.
It's a new substation that's being built down at Wilsonville.
Oh. So
I don't want to take away from Janine's report here, but yeah.
Perhaps later, before we're ending, you would talk about that a
sure.
little. Because that's going to be
a huge
project.
Is that high tension, high voltage line?
Yeah.
The one that you go out Stafford Road and there's a sign say...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the protest signs. Yeah.
You're going to do that? Shame
like
on
I
you.
Said, not my project. I don't work in Clackamas County, so not anymore.
Sorry, Janine. We digress.
Going on to the well one pump motor replacement, it's everything's back in operational status. It was returned on the 20th of March.
No surprises.
Not quite yet. When I had talked to the board a year ago on our production and consumption numbers, I always had wondered if the flow meter at well one was accurate.
Right.
Now that we have a new motor in there, I did have them do a flow test on the 1st of March. I just got the results. I haven't had time to look at them, and I'll see if, in fact, the flow meter is correct. At one time, we thought that it might have been over-reporting, but again, there's nothing firm on that, and I need to now like look at the data and get with Kyle, and then we'll assess what the outcome of that flow test was. But it was worth the money to do it. We notified the residents on Old Gate. Everybody was very cooperative. It took a whole Friday on the 1st, which if I ever had to do it again, I wouldn't have done it on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But it's done, and we did it. And again, we'll start reviewing the data.
And the pump is still the same pump. It's just a new motor, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to budget for about every 5 years to have that replaced. So again, we're going to get into budget. SCADA system, we had the initial evaluation for replacement. We had Control Systems Northwest on site the 18th and the 19th. He'll submit his proposal within the next 30 days. We finished our Oregon Health Line survey inventory. We sent it up to OHA on the 18th. Kudos to Keith.
Sure,
he was, tasked with 60 a day. He exceeded that. Some days he would do 100, 118. When he got going, he just went. I'm picking up the rest of water ops right now while we're down a water operator. And again, he was just, he knocked it out of the park. We also received kudos. OHA Service Line Program Manager called us because of the comprehensiveness of our inventory. We didn't report any unknown. And in the water world right now, some of the districts are a little bit frustrated with the EPA and coming down with all these regulations and rules without any like financial assistance. So on a lot of the districts, they're reporting unknown as the material. It's not going to behoove them, you know, if they want to take a stand, you know, they can take a stand, but they will eventually have to identify. We were lucky in that, Keith. And
how,
Jason,
how many
started
choices
this.
Are there?
There's five. Is it lead? Is it copper? Is it PEXT? Is it unknown? There's five different categories. You can go out onto the website. So we've loaded the results, and customers can go under resources, customer, and search for their address. We did it very simple. You don't need to have your account number or anything because that's sensitive information, but address information is not. And you can go and you can see exactly what service line serves your water for your property. Customer assistant request calls. We did 27 site visits, and we had two emergency call-outs. The emergency call-outs were due to broke curb stops. Those particular customers were invoiced for the time and material that it took for the district to repair that. One bill is almost $600, or a little over $600. One is just under $300. So in the April newsletter, again, we'll do an article about the curb stops. They belong to the district, and customers will be held accountable. The biggest cost is our time, and that, you know, we're on the invoice. We charge for our time for that, sure, because that's time that we are taken away from doing the operations and maintenance of the system.
Could you determine how they were broken?
They were broken by, yes, by plumbers, contractors. Yeah, it was very clear, but yeah. And I think a testament to the customers is that they were honest. They said that their plumbers broke it. One actually stripped it and it popped. I've never seen a curb stop broken like that, and that was quite unusual the way the plumber did it. The plumbers aren't happy, but the customers, we, you know, treat them with professionalism, of course. Unfortunately, you are going to have to pay for this expense. They're invoiced out on a professional invoice that we've created here for our district, and you know, it's revenue that we need. Curb stops are now, I had to go buy some over at Consolidated, and they're $130 a pop.
Can I ask a question on that? Do you specify made in America on curb stops?
Oh,
the reason I ask is they're supposed to be brass.
Mm-hmm, they are.
A lot of the foreign ones have some contamination with lead,
yeah,
and it greatly weakens them.
Yeah, no, ours are 100% brass.
Good.
And so, no, we get them from Consolidated. They've been our supplier for some time now. Moving on to finance, fund transfers for the reserve accounts have been completed till the board at the last board meeting. The budget is done, and The annual cost of living increase, you all were generous in giving the employees in December a 4%, but I thought you may want to see other districts that were willing to come forward and say what they were giving their employees. I just included this annual cost of living comparison just so for your own edification, so you know what other districts are doing. Safety training work was completed. One thing I left off my district report, I'm going to apologize, was the meeting with the county for the proposed office space at 4100 Oldgate. We have a date of April 18th.
With the city, you mean?
Mm-hmm, I'm so sorry. With the city at 1:15 on April
18th?
April 18th at 1:15. It'll be in person. And public is welcome to attend and make comment. And I was told, as kind of a heads up, there were going to be people from the HOA within that area that attends. I can't remember at the last board meeting who asked me, but I got the data. How much was spent to date on this? This is of the 25th of February. $2,122 have been spent on engineering fees for the application site map, et cetera, and an additional $537 have been spent for the application fees, for a total of $2,659. This does not include engineering fees for March, and I anticipate them to be somewhere, again, $2,000 to $2,500.
What time is that kickoff meeting at City Hall?
1:15.
And what's the April 15th? Is
April 18th.
18th.
Okay. Mm-hmm, at 1:15.
1:15.
Mm-hmm, and it will be in person. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you have your choice between Zoom or in person, and we chose in person. So 1:15.
So we're probably into it for about
$5,000,
$5,500 between the engineering fees for all the material and then the pre-app fees to the city then.
Plus their time to attend the meeting.
Okay.
Right.
Kyle's expensive, but he's probably the one you want there.
Yes, he's planning on attending. I send out an email on the leadership training. Chair Roth wants to attend that via Zoom. Commissioner Magura, Commissioner Patterson cannot, Commissioner Johnson cannot, and Commissioner Howell will check his schedule. And once I have that by Wednesday, I will sign everybody up for that Zoom training. And going into the budget, as I said, the budget's done and all of the capital improvement money has been transferred over. This is
About the 25 budget.
2024 budget, our current budget, our 2023-2024. So all of our capital improvement deposits have been met. We put in over $208,000. That brings up to the rate study, which I'll talk about when we get to new business. On the finances, we're well within line. With only one quarter left, you'll look at your expense and revenue. I had Chenry run that as of 3/21, so it's real time for the board, and you can see, have a pretty accurate assessment of what we're monitoring. One line item that we are going to go over is meter. Meter costs have skyrocketed. I used to be able to get meters for about $59 to $61.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hmm. We're manual meters, so yeah. So the cheapest I can get Badger is $80. So I had to put $50 on order at a cost of $4,000. We need those meters to complete our annual replacement program this summer. Lead time for those is about 10 weeks. Also, with the curb stops being damaged, I put in an order and picked up a Consolidated Supply. Brass is very hard to get a hold of. I was actually lucky I could get some at our supplier. Other suppliers I tried, there's a 42 to 48 week wait.
For a curb stop?
Mm-hmm. So I went ahead and got 30 at a cost of $130 a piece. Yeah. But we need them.
Oh, yeah. And what's the estimated usable life, these new meters, 10 years or so?
20 years.
20 years?
Mm-hmm. Meters should last 20 years.
They should last. Yeah.
We rotate, we've got meters still in the ground over 30 years old, 35 years old, which those are going to be, the last of those will be replaced this year. But yeah, so our meter replacement program at 70 meters a year, we replace our meters at 18.5 years. Which is well within the industry standard. And I would encourage, you know, the board to maintain that. There's not any other questions. That concludes the report.
Okay, unfinished business.
And I'm sorry, Chair Roth, this is where I meant to put in about 4100 Old Gate, the meeting.
Okay.
Date. So we stay on within the agenda.
I have a question, Janine. Do you mm-hmm. have any idea when the new school is going to open, and because they're a customer of ours.
Well, they're supposed to be done with everything April 8th. That's the date I've heard. That's their drop dead date. They have to be done.
They're
and then, of course,
around like crazy over
mm-hmm,
there.
They are, and that's why.
April 8th. Huh?
Mm-hmm, April 8th, and then you know, punch list and everything, and they have 30 days for a punch. Complete the punch list, and then the school should be opened, of course, on time this fall. But yeah, that's their absolutely drop dead date. So you pass by, and we know a lot of them now because, you know, we've worked up there, and they'll give you the frantic waves and like, leave me alone. Don't want to talk. Just try to be courteous. Leave me alone. I'm like, you've been there, done that. I got it.
Well,
frantically
got
wave back
to
them.
Oh, yeah. And they haven't done any landscaping.
No.
That usually goes pretty quick.
Yeah. All right. Were there any questions on the Old Gate project? Or potential project?
I guess my question is how, so we have this pre-app with the city of Lake Oswego, which helps us determine, you know, particularly the neighborhood association, if they're going to be amenable to it. Assuming we have a pre-op with them and we don't want to proceed with this now, let's say we put it off for a year, do we have to have another pre-op?
Yes.
With the city?
Mm-hmm.
So.
This is primarily for budget guidance purposes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I will say that when we were doing the flow test down at Well 1 and how much room that took in the district area. Again, I guess the board's going to be creative if they follow through with this and design a building, because it's going to be very tight squeezed down there. And, you know, I went to the Washington County Manager's Breakfast on Thursdays last week, kind of canvassed the group of how their office buildings are. There's only one other district that has an office within their well site, but it's so dissected that there's absolutely no possible, no possibility for somebody to get hurt. If our 4100 was built a little bit different in that the office space could become what the district shop is, and then the district shop put down, but I remain, you know, open. I will do exactly what the board wants. I have concerns.
Of course.
I'm going to be very honest.
We just need to see what's possible.
Mm-hmm. And with the building down there, the landlord keeps making improvements on the building. You see our new security door.
Yeah.
He's also willing to do a wall here along that light and make a private office and make improvements in here. So he's really got a lot of good ideas. Again, the doors out front are going to be replaced. But then I when the board, when the district gets done with the lease in 2016, there would be a rent increase.
In 26.
Because, mm-hmm. And so I take that into consideration as well. Is the idea of an office good? Yeah, the idea of an office is good. But it's got to be the right location. And it can't hinder operations. We finally have, you know, our vac, where we can, you know, clean out our meter boxes, pull down, dump, do everything we need to do legally, not over, you know, a ravine in the woods, etc. And I can't envision navigating that around an office building and cars and customers coming in. And again, just the operations down there, I don't know how we do that safely, with safety as our number one priority, not only for our employees, but for our customers. It would be nice if we could find a piece of land somewhere, because I do believe, though I don't know for certain, I think our rent will probably go from $1,600 to about $3,000, because the going rate, and Commissioner Patterson might know through her husband or her, realtor, I believe it's going for $38 a square foot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds about right.
So, just something put on the back burner.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Have you ever looked at the building across the street that's being renovated?
I have, and I've been nosing over there, actually.
What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know who bought it and what they're going to turn it into, because our lease is good through the 2026, and we have a very good relationship with the owner. He likes us, and he says he wants us to stay. And when we were joking about the wall, I was trying to say, well, maybe we could put in some money for it. And he goes, well, you should pay for all of it, for the rent you pay. And I said, well, George, I was kind of thinking 30-70. And he's like, no, I was thinking 100%. And he kept pointing back to me. So he did text me over the weekend and said, do you have paint? Because when this was all painted and the Grey Gorge didn't want anything, of course, I took it and we store it down at the district shop. And he's like, well, you're going to need paint color that matches for your new wall. So I kind of took that as hopeful, that because he said it would be no trouble to do that. It's very easy to frame that out and put a wall there with a door.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good idea.
We'll see.
I mean, if he's willing to pay for it, sure.
Yeah, not us.
Right.
All right. We are on then to new business. The resolution number 2024-01.
So the leak adjustment policy was just retyped from the old one. It was streamlined. If I would have provided the old resolution, it would have been all yellow. It needed to be streamlined. Customers, were confused. It went from 3 pages to 2 pages. The form stayed the same. The only thing I needed to update on the form was the appropriate ordinance. The ordinance still cited the 1901. So other than taking out, unnecessary wording, confusing sentences, streamlining it to, 18, items that they look at it. And of course, punctuation, sentence structures. That was the only changes in it.
Yeah, I read through this. Nothing jumped out at me. It seemed very logical and fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to read something that has correct wording and
it's less than 2 pages long.
Yeah.
I think we appreciate your good work on this, Janice. That. So I guess the only question I have with the policy here is, says customers shall present written request. It shall be received within 30 days of a leak occurrence or notification from the district. So would this be after the meter's read and it's excessively high, or would this be after the customers received their bill?
Either or. So when a meter
is whichever
read,
is sooner, then
correct.
I would assume.
Mm-hmm. So when a meter, how most leaks are detected is when the meter readers go and they do the bimonthly reading.
Right.
And I would say 90%, 10% are caught either by the customer or the district water operators driving around, because what's the number one thing they're told when they're in their truck? You look for water. You always look for water where it shouldn't be. So once they're notified, either by that we find it when we're out doing rounds, or the contractor finds it on meter readers, they're given a tag, and that's put on their door, picture taken like we Amazon, and that's when their 30 days kick. You have to keep with that 30-day policy. You don't want a customer that beleaguers this and takes 60 to 90 days, because that's water that they're wasting.
Right,
and it's money. Also money, because we meet them 50% up to a $500 limit. I also rewrote this because at the manager's meeting, we were all talking about water leak coverage and stuff. And they were, complaining about customers being upset about irrigation. No one covers irrigation, and I understand that. We get a lot of our customers that challenge that, saying, well, Lake Oswego does. I can't speak for Lake Oswego, but I could speak for the other 10 managers that were there. No one covers irrigation. and irrigation, you can spend thousands of dollars. So it's very important that the request be received within that 30-day leak occurrence.
Okay, that was my only question, was what was our method of notifying and starting the clock on the 30 days? So thank you.
Mm-hmm. So it's not tied to the billing going out. It's
it could. Oh, no, no, no. It's through the detector. Remember, meter readers will read 2 days before we do our billing, ideally 2 days.
So by the time it gets to somebody, it could be as much as a week.
No.
No, because
well,
they do the notification after the reading, and it's
right.
typically
meter
before
readers,
the bill's been generated.
Meter readers does the reading. This
okay.
is how the process works. They go out and they read the meters. If they see one that is leaking or something like that, it takes them, they have 2 days to read our meters.
Uh-huh.
And they don't stretch it over a weekend. We've redefined the parameters of that because that makes water loss, consumption, and production almost impossible to configure. So it's in writing. Sent it to them, so they read it within 2 days. We get the report within a day. So it's 3 days sometimes by the time they identify a leak and we go through it. So as soon as we see it, there's a leak, and I can, it's really nice to see the process. It'll say possible leak. We immediately identify it. We put it on our verify list. Water operator goes out, looks, oh, heck yeah, meters reader got this at 352. That was 3 days ago. Now it's at 363. Does the tag, mm-hmm. sits it on, puts it on the door, takes the picture, and that's when the 30 days kicks.
Okay.
And then once they get their bill, a lot of them, because the kids will take the door tag, or you hear all types of stories, the dog ate the door tag.
Yeah.
Regardless, by the time they get the bill, you're still going to get a call saying, oh my gosh, I must have a leak. And then we go to our verify, yes, ma'am. And we go to our record.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we notified you of that on this date. Yes, you'll want to get leak detection. And then we go plumber. And then we go through our song and dance of how they go about first detecting it and then repairing it.
Okay, got it.
Because you do not want customers to sit there and be complacent and wait, you know, 30, 60, 90 days.
No.
Well, by rights, the customer should be calling in for a disconnect during business hours while their plumber does the repairs, right?
Absolutely. That's another thing. We go out and we look for water, and the second thing we look for is plumbing trucks. That's what a good water operator does.
I mean, I guess that'd be my only... I like the policy how it's written. I think it's fine. That would be my only suggestion, is make it a little clearer for customers what the process is.
I swear, I think those plumber's trucks rotate through my neighborhood continuously.
Yeah. So I don't think it needs to be adopted in the resolution, but maybe, you know, we put a cover sheet on it for the customer that just says, like, hey, this is our process. You'll receive a tag, and this is what starts the clock. Because that's my question reading the resolution. The policy is,
mm-hmm.
when does the time start? So
Yeah,
so when a
leak detection.
So when they get the tag and we take a picture of the tag, it says we've detected a leak. It's actually mm-hmm. on the tag if you've ever received a tag. And it tells you right there that your meter, your water usage was high. We suspect a leak. And then we write down there at the bottom, please contact the district. So right here, number one, we noticed your meter reading was higher than normal. Please check for leaking toilet faucets, water. And then we don't hear, please contact the office regarding. And we take a picture, and that's what starts it.
Can we have that picture, like, on our website?
A picture of what?
Well, you would
of our tank.
Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
people will pay attention that if there's.
We don't have anybody ever really disregard a water leak tag.
Okay, good.
We at least in my tenure here at the district, they take that pretty seriously. Then when they call and they say, you know, yeah, I got your tag. We walk them through the process of, you know, whether you're going to use a leak detection company, pros and cons, whether you're going to use a plumber, pros and cons. And once you get it fixed, call us, and then we will send you the resolution. So every customer gets a copy of the resolution and gets the form so that they can complete it. And the form is very easy. I didn't do anything with the form, so kudos for the district for having this form. They only have to fill out 7 blocks and then submit their paperwork. Now, what we do here at the district, only myself does water leak credit adjustments, and I turn them around within 24 hours.
It's a nice form.
It is.
Did you design this?
No, I cannot take credit for this. The district uses, I found data of where the previous general manager had reached out to other districts and got forms and got their resolutions and stuff. So, no, can't take credit for that. This is a really good form. And I actually have shared this. So the district has used this, I think, since 2017. It only just needed to have the resolution updated. And I think the form is very easy to understand. Yeah. What customers were having problem was with the three pages of the resolution. That's why I broke it down into 18 easy steps.
Okay. I move that we approve the resolution as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
It is unanimous.
Nice piece of work there, Janine.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Can I see the door hanger?
Oh, absolutely.
Thanks, Sharon.
I remember once we had a leak and there was our old steel water line let go in the middle of summer.
No.
Oh.
And that's when we went to a PEX line. And plumber brought in his ditch witch and powered up it. And he managed to get that thing down underneath the concrete slab and up exactly inside the wall of the house. Within a quarter of an inch where it needed to go. It was so impressive.
That is. Okay. We are now on to the rate study.
Okay. The district's rate study expired this year in the 2023-2024 budget. So I will do an article for the April newsletter letting customers know we are undergoing a rate study. As you all know, the rate study is designed to provide, you know, a financial plan for the board, for the employees, and for our customers on what they can expect in the future on their utility rates. Again, we need to have the money for the resources to meet day-to-day operating costs. Maintain critical infrastructure, modernize the system as we're going to go right now with SCADA, and cover our debt service requirements. So fund reserves, and again, the capital improvement plan. So our rate study was done in March of 2015. We contracted Gilardi Rothstein Group to do the study. They started actually in October of 2014, finished it up in June of that following year, 2015, at a cost just shy of $17,000.
How many?
$17,000. So, again, if you've read the rate study, this again is out on the website under resources customers, so customers can see. It was good through the 23-24 year. So that's the budget that we're ending in June 30th. So I've already had a preliminary meeting with EES, who's going to be doing our rates study. I actually called around to different districts to find out who they used. And a lot of them came back with EES, big and small districts our size that just raved about them. So I reached out. There was one company that I contacted and was going to charge us $50,000. So this is $26,000 for our rate study. I included the attachment so you could keep the so you could see the task breakdown.
That isn't that much less or that much more.
Mm-mm. Than the 17,000. I know, and you have to think 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I thought it. Yeah.
Did we have this in the budget?
We didn't have it like as a line item in the budget. Did I know that we had to do it? Yes. And I kept telling the board when you all were talking to me about rates, I'm like, we need to use our current rate study and our one will be coming up in 2 years. Well, here we are now. Accelerate. Here we are 2 years. So in completing the budget for 2024 and 2025, I initially did an increase because I don't have a rate study to go by of 4%. That's what I've got it projected for our new budget.
Which is about the cost of inflation.
Right. So what I want to bring the board's attention to is when the rate study was done back in 2014, they projected, which again, you know, it's kind of like trying to put Jell-O up on a wall, that our debt service was $53,414 because we only had the one loan through Business Oregon, and that was correct. They anticipated the project for Reservoir 3 seismic upgrade at 72,000 repayment. That is almost doubled because, as you all know, our annual repayment on that debt is $133,000. So right now, this district has debt service expenditures of $186,432 a year. If we stay on budget with the project over on Childs Road, that's going to add to our debt roughly, though we are going to get some credit, another $2.7 million. So I took the liberty of doing the calculations, and after that project is done, the district should expect to see a debt service in the amount of $336,432 a year. So with that being said, as Commissioner McGrew said earlier, there are talks out in the street that the EPA is on another project to remove AC pipe.
You've heard that too?
Yes, I have. So I think the district, and this is just my opinion in the time I've been employed here, I think the district has been focused on facility projects, not waterline projects. And I think we need to turn our attention totally to waterline projects because we're still 67% AC. We're not going to get there if we don't stick to our budget. And that's why, again, I asked the board in February, is there anything you all are going to anticipate wanting to do this new fiscal year? Because I knew I was finishing the budget and I needed a budget for that. You all told me no. So I hope, you know, the board, unless there's an emergency that comes up, that we're going to stick to that. We need to start budgeting for our AC replacement. We have a developer that is developing over on Marlin Court. He did the first half of Pilkington, that big house you see, and then he two-parcel partitioned it, so he's coming in off Marlin. Because he's coming in off Marlin and it's not an existing service, he's required to pay for a third of the upgrade on Marlin. We're going to pick up the other two-thirds of it. We'll probably break ground on that in May-June timeframe.
That'd be like a six-inch line?
Mm-hmm. And then that one Barlin is one of the streets where we still have not individual services. It's piped out from the main to a T where two houses will share that T. They each have their own service line, but it's a T.
Oh, like we my need... cul-de-sac.
Oh, is yours like that?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, we'll do that when we get to Colby. So that's all going to be, you know, redone, and they're going to have individual service lines, etc. And so, again, that project should be May, June, because the house is almost built and they've already sold the house. So the developer is very excited, let's use the word, to, you know, get that project done.
He's motivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the estimated cost for a new water line out there?
I've got the cost comparison. I think it's going to be a one-third, two-thirds split. I think it will come in somewhere around $200,000 for us. Hundreds for him, but I don't want to quote that number, and I'll have it for the board meeting because we'll be closer then to actually talk about it next month. But with that all being said, again, we need to concentrate on our waterline projects. And though the district concentrating on facility projects in the past were not grossly misplaced, we need to really focus our attention on AC replacement.
Totally agree.
Well, we've done enough facility that we ought to be in pretty good shape with that.
Right.
So then it's time.
No, reservoirs 1 and 2 are on borrowed time.
No, I'm sorry. I disagree with that.
Well, I'm just telling my.
Are you talking reservoirs 1 or 2 or
yes.
Wells 1 and 2?
Reservoirs.
Do reservoirs 1 and 2 need to be replaced? Yes, eventually. They should not be a priority. And in my opinion, and again, it's only my opinion, the board shouldn't focus on that as being a priority. Your priority should be water lines. That those reservoir 1 and 2, you can probably get another, 15 years out of those. They're cobbled together. And in fact, they're being inspected next week. They were due for our 5-year inspection on them. I already have that. The contractor's going to be here next week, and I'll be able to brief the board on that at the April meeting. But no, that shouldn't be a priority for the board. I also want to...
I totally disagree with you.
I know you do.
It needs to be on the priority list. It won't be the number one priority.
I know.
It needs to be on there because we're always seeking grants or other sources of
I know that we disagree, and we've talked about this you know, outside of meetings when you come in, you know, for different budget things. That's just my opinion. My opinion is to guide the board on where we need to direct our resources to. When I was going through the master plan and the rate study, and you all knew this, the board, for some reason, the district, we did not follow what the contractor advised us to do. We should have been doing 8% increases. So for 2018-19, we did that, but they said we needed to be doing an 8% increase in 1920. Rate increase. We didn't do anything, not just 8%. We didn't do any in 2021. Commissioner McGurr, and I will kudos to that, was very insistent, if you all remember, during the 21-22 budget cycle of doing that 10% increase so we could recoup, the revenue that we lost. So that's just what I'm saying. And that was noted in my conversation with Russ from EES. And I was stuck with the question, why didn't the district stick with the rate increase? I'm sorry, I wasn't in a position to answer that. And so we didn't.
My time, wasn't it?
It's water under the bridge. And so, when we get this rate study from EES and we take a meeting to go through it and look at it, I strongly would ask the board to stick with the recommendations. And I think if they're, properly informed, the customers, our ratepayers through our newsletters and stuff, I don't think there's going to be much kickback on it.
We already have really cheap water here. I have friends that live over in like Garden Home area, and pay City of Portland water rates.
Right.
It's insane.
Right.
It is absolutely Tiger, insane.
And it's insane.
Yeah. Tiger's also
expensive. My gosh.
Got Lake Oswego Water in Tiger, of course, is the consortium between the two cities.
Oh, well, Tigard's getting a rod of the deal on that for the joint project.
Yeah, we have the watershed off Bull Run. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, you don't even want to know what our water bill for two people. I'm usually here at work, so I'm not using a lot of water at my house. So I'm talking, it's 200, it's a lot.
I'm good friends with Greg DiLoretto, who is the longtime general manager at Walton Valley Water. He says they always, every year, 2 or 3% rate increase, just every year.
So does Lowe.
It's not a mm-hmm.
They have it built in. Correct.
Of course, they have, 100,000 connections or 150,000.
They have that much more plan to maintain, though. And they have a lot more facilities. I mean, everything is kind of scaled, right?
Right.
For the size of the district. So.
Roughly, yeah.
I'm give or take, yeah. So.
And remember, we're pretty well built out. So, the numbers that everybody thinks, we did the Portland Metro study 2 years ago. We're not getting a lot more people. And so, again, I just encourage the board to focus on pipe replacement because it's going to come down sooner than later that we are going to have a certain amount of time to get rid of this. And remember, all of our AC in Clackamas County cannot be abandoned. It actually has to be removed. So that adds tens of thousands of dollars onto the contract.
And that's 80% of our district is in unincorporated Clackamas County or Clackamas County right away.
80%? No.
Okay, maybe 70, 75. Portion of it.
I
think he's right.
I think 72%.
But
okay.
This entire project, the Childs Road project, is all in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
And we won't have to abandon that. I mean, we won't have to remove that, that they still allow you to abandon it. But in going through that locator training and getting certified in locator, there's actually legislation now for utilities to actually pull things because they're saying the underground, it's just like so chaotic. It's like a spider's web. There's so much stuff, and they wish now that they would have gotten ahead of it years ago and had, utilities actually pull their stuff. It's actually dangerous. And going to locate, I'm nervous doing locates because I just, liability, but It's just, I have to keep thinking in my head, you know, just take your time, read your signal.
I assume I will get a chance to review the plans for this project. And I'll review them, just like I did at the Reservoir 3 project.
Yeah, when all the funding and everything
goes through. I'm very concerned about what the engineer comes up with for an abandonment procedure. There's ways to do it.
Well, we follow Lake Oswego construction standards.
Okay.
It's exactly what we do.
All right.
We don't reinvent the wheel.
Good.
We're within their municipality, and we have to follow the rules.
And we just have a franchise agreement with them either, so it's whatever permit we decide to draw.
All right. Any questions on the rate study? So I have until the 10th of April my marching orders to get everything that they need to get this done for us.
Will they give us a briefing when they're done?
Mm-hmm. I can absolutely ask for it. Or even if they come by Zoom. But that's how Russ and I had our, and it's a different Russ, not mm-hmm. our Russ auditor.
Right.
Russ EES Russ. So I guess we'll say Jared Siebert, Paulette Russ, and Russ EES.
Yeah, I'm thinking about now. EES, I'm familiar with them. They're a local, and I guess they've now affiliated with this group in Georgia.
Yeah, they come very highly recommended.
Yeah. Good.
I look forward to seeing what they have or what they come up with.
Oh. Resolutions of disputes by the laws of the state of Georgia. Come on, Janine. You let that get by?
On what? What did
Item
I miss?
Item 5 on the bottom says, resolution of disputes, attorney's fees, this agreement shall be governed by the laws
of
the state of Georgia.
Yeah, I did let that get by.
We don't.
I'll have it redone. I'll contact him.
In Cobb County, it'll be Clackamas County.
All right, that's all I have, Cheroth. Unless anyone has any questions for me.
Anybody else have anything else?
I mean, I guess I'd support Janine's comments about, you know, engaging in, you know, infrastructure replacement and not large singular capital projects for standing assets.
I agree.
So, did you want me to talk about Tonquin? Or do you want after the meeting?
How about after the meeting? Since that's not directly related.
Yep, that's good.
All right. Well, in that case, we will adjourn at 5:25.